Hi, friends. This is Z.
And this is Amy.
And you're here for an episode of Curse Words and Crayons Presents True Crime. Thanks for stopping by to hang. Today is a serial killer roundup. The top five serial killers confirmed death-wise. That is, it's going to be the perfect episode. I know. But yeah, this is going to be the perfect episode to share with a friend. So hit pause and do that. Do it, do it, do it. And Amy, how are you today?
Hanging in there, living the dream. Same stuff, different day. School is in session. Activities are starting back up. And this is when we keep saying things are going to get calmer next week every day until we die. What about you?
Yeah, I'm on that 6-month cycle of, you know, how things are always like good and then they're like awful and then they're good kid wise. Right. OK,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm in the bed, like, and it's nothing with my kids. It's just the schedule and the school and the everything. I'm in the I think I just started the 6 months of the bads.
Of the bad. Oh,
it's a cycle thing, right?
For sure.
It's always like a season thing. So
yes.
Maybe it won't be 6 months. Maybe it'll be a month. Either way. OK, so I have a fun thing that I want to give for my show and tell though. OK, I'm all about the beauty products right now. And so I'm going to pretend like I have my life together by looking better. OK, so one of the things that I've been using. So last week I told you about like the Tula under eye stuff, which I love.
Yes.
And honestly, I use the rose one so much, but I finally found where I put the
shimmerless, right? It's not
Thank
shimmery.
You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, where I just put the original formula one, and I like it more than the shimmery one because I'm like less of a shimmer girl, I feel like.
Sure.
And so I think I like the shimmery one more when Roberto and I were in Vegas and I was like dressing up.
Right.
Okay.
When you're going out, shimmer
yes.
under eye and like clothes to go to the grocery store don't exactly
It feels
mix.
A little.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is another, so buy that and buy both of them and then get the gold one too. So buy all three of them. The
Love it.
Thanks in our, like our last one, but this is all about the Kitsch. It's Kitsch. I'm sure you've seen the hair brand around. It is a hair brand and it is the heatless curling thingy. So it is the like rod.
It's like a wire or something, like a big
yes.
thing, right?
It yeah. looks like, you know, how we used to have those like fancy hangers. It almost looks like the stuff that goes around a fancy hanger. Okay.
It's like satin, right? Like it's like a satin
yes.
outside. It almost reminds me of like a mini pool noodle, like a really
yes.
like different material, but
yes.
it's that same like thing. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So it's like that. And you put it on top of your head with like a clip and then you don't braid your hair onto it, but like you braid your hair onto
Twist it
almost.
It.
Right,
right, right, right.
Yeah. With
yeah.
two different strands. I love it so much. It actually works. Okay. And it's stupid easy. I do not know how to curl my hair. I don't know how to do anything. I don't even like, I can't even give myself a blowout because I don't know how to like move my hand with the big brush.
Mm-hmm.
I can straighten my hair. Mm-hmm. I at one point used to be able to curl my hair with a straightener. Now I don't know how to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I could figure it out again. Either way, I don't give myself the time to learn these things
right.
because I want to do anything else with my time except for, I don't know. Curl my hair. I got
super
children.
Time consuming, especially when you have longer hair or if your hair is
my
thicker.
My hair is almost down to my ass
it.
And
yeah.
I have baby fine hair. So I have incredibly thick hair. Anyway, so it works for this. I don't know how it would work for shorter hair. So I'm curious for someone like you, Amy, on how, because yours is yours is shoulder length now?
It's like a little longer than shoulder length when it's down and like when
it's
like straight. So not super short anymore, but I'm wondering how it works with your hair with being so long.
Oh, it
like
twists
the rod
up and
ends.
I still have, because the rod goes to like almost my nipples though.
Oh, so it's like super long. Okay.
And you're like braiding
yeah, yeah, yeah.
in the... So honestly, my hair ends up not taking the whole contraption.
Wow.
I did it once with dry hair, and it only lasted like an hour. And then I did it with damp hair, and that is where it's at. And now I'm working with, like, I need to try it again and see if I can do a little bit damper.
Okay.
But however, again, my hair is like down to my waist. I still suggest this. I think this is perfect. I do not know how it would work on short hair. If you have short hair, hit us up on the social medias, wherever you follow us at. Let us know how it works on your short hair, because I'm honestly curious. But it is the Kish Heatless Curling Thingy-ma-bobber, and we will link it in our Amazon shop under Shop Our Favorites. They also have satin pillowcases. I want to get a satin pillowcase.
I love a satin
But I have this wedge pillow now that I've been using, and that's been really helping with my neck, and they don't have wedge satin pillowcases. They do, but Kish doesn't specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. Anyways, they have a bunch of cool stuff, so I want to try out more of their hair thingies.
My sister got me a satin pillowcase one year for like a holiday or a gift giving something, and I love it.
I gave it to the girls last year for Christmas.
So
I always try to give.
It's so nice.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll have to get one.
I have experience with the one I have is like the octopus looking one. So I don't have the Kish, which I should try, because the octopus looking one, I can't, it's a lot to coordinate. So
can you sleep in it?
You can. So it's like a headband almost, like it goes like straight across your head, and and then it has like long satin things that like hang down, and then you like twist individual ones, and then so it's kind of like all around your head. I don't love it. I've had it for a while. It doesn't work super great, but I've never tried the Kish one just because I feel like it looks really hard. But if you're telling me it's easy,
it's so easy at the same level of hair. It's like braiding your hair, but you don't even have to know how to braid your hair, because you're only using two strands. So I'm like, what am I doing with my hands?
Yeah.
You guys can't see because it's
you
podcast.
Can't see this hand,
but this is how I'm doing it.
But did you get it on the Amazons?
Because it was sale for Amazon Prime Day.
Oh, that was smart. And, but even not on sale, it's only like 50. I just looked them up. They're only like $15. Like they're not
I
very
know.
Expensive. So.
It was on sale for $9.99, and
even
I had bought everybody else something for Amazon Prime from Amazon. Well, except for my husband, I bought the kids something for Prime Day. I guess I should say I bought the kids something for Prime Day, and I thought, treat yourself, girl.
You deserved a treat too. So. Get that. I love it.
I saved so much money using Amazon Prime Day. So with the money that I saved buying my niece's sewing machine for her birthday, that's in June.
Mm-hmm,
yes. I also bought that for myself. And
I love it. So it was like basically free.
Exactly. It was free. I also got myself a pair of shorts that were literally free too, because I mean,
amazing.
I saved that money to cover it free.
If you save money, it's free.
I
believe
100%. Yes. If it is on sale, it's also basically free, and
basically
you're stupid
free.
And you lost money if you didn't buy it.
Exactly. I saw this reel the other day that was like, if you load, I use the Starbucks app when I order Starbucks. And so I have a preloaded card, because then I just pay with the app and you get more points and blah, 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 whatever. And I saw this girl talking about how when you use a gift card to buy coffee, even if you paid for that gift card, then that coffee
it's
is
free.
Then essentially free. And I've never felt more seen in my whole life. So I totally get it. But yeah, I love that. I love anything where I can wake up and my hair looks semi put together and I don't have to whip it in a bun every single day. I love to get blowouts, but I cannot do them myself. Like I have to go and get them done.
I've never had a blowout in my
life. And I'm willing to pay for that because I just like the way it looks better. There's places here, there's like blowout bars that you can go to where it's like basically you just go and you do your stuff. So when I transferred from full-time to part-time, I would go and get them every once in a while just because I had extra time and it was nice to do that. It's a nice treat yourself, but it's not something, and I'm sure people do it, but it's not something I could do every week. It's too expensive to do it like every week, but it was a nice every once in a while. But with this, you do it before you go to bed real quick, boom, 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 and then you wake up and it looks good.
I had a boyfriend in college one time, and I remember him telling me that I would like look so much better also if I knew how to do my hair, but I did not know how to do my hair. And he had me convinced that, like, basically all adult women had enough money once they graduated college and they started working, and they just go and get their hair done like once or twice a week. And I was like, yeah, I just fucking ate that shit up.
Yeah.
And just don't let men talk to you like that. Because yeah, you know what? He could have lost like 100 pounds and I was over there looking fine as hell. And he's like, if you just knew how to use a curling iron. Well, do you know how to use a curling iron,
right,
sir?
You want
to
curl my hair every day, sir?
You would look better if you, I don't know, had a different fucking face, sir.
That guy's rude. I'm glad that
self-esteem.
I'm glad you didn't marry him.
I wanted to move to Dallas for that dude. I did not.
No.
That is not Roberto.
I was going to say,
I didn't get a job in Dallas, so I wasn't able to stalk him all the way there. I ended up back in Houston, and fortunately, because that's where I met my husband, and now I have kids, and I'm in this house, and I'm fucking
wonderful.
Talking to you, and we are actually going to segue this into a true crime podcast, like now, ready?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about serial killers, which is basically the same thing as a hair blowout. So let's get into
it. Okay, so these are the top 5 serial killers, and we only have one repeat, and it's okay about the repeat person.
Because they're the best.
Yes, and when you get there, if you're a frequent listener, you're going to be like, I know everything about this person, and you know what? That's okay. You like us, and you like her. And here we go. Okay, but I'm not starting off with her. I'm starting off with Dr. Death. Okay, so one of history's deadliest serial killers was a married family man who managed to squeeze in 218 murders. He was credited. And some people say, or possibly who's to say, maybe 250. And this was all while he was working as a popular British physician, which is like a fancy way to say doctor. I know you know that, but it makes me feel smart to tell you. So, Dr. Death, Harold Shipman, very white person, glasses name right there. But anyways,
like a serial killer. Yeah, like straight off the bat. Yeah.
Harold Shipman began his murderous spree in 1972, and it is believed he killed at least 71 patients while working at his first practice, and he doubled that number at a second practice he joined after butting heads with colleagues. They found him to be arrogant and overconfident, which that does not surprise me at all. Okay, so he went to a second hospital, killed twice as many people. And then finally in 1998, both a local undertaker and another doctor noticed that he had an unusually high number of people that he was cremating, and he had signed off on them. They also noticed there were striking similarities in the patients themselves. So they were mainly older women who were found sitting up fully clothed, which you would assume that they would be in bed if they were gravely ill, right? But
right.
Also, I don't know, old people, they'd be out there
doing weird shit.
Do they know they're going to die? Do you wake up that morning and you're just like, I'm going to die today? And if so, I would probably put on clean panties and want to, like, I mean, you're going to shit
100.
Them either way. But, like, I would.
You'd want to, like, look nice. And they say sometimes people do know it, but
you get,
obviously.
Like, bursts of energy
sounds,
at the end, yeah. Right? Okay, but anyways, they found this. I don't find this to be suspicious, but I kind of do. But all of them apparently were this way, okay? All of them were, like.
Which. Red flag, for sure. Yeah.
Some of them should have been laying in bed if they were gravely ill. Okay, so despite these clues, the initial investigation wasn't very well handled, and so it allowed him to kill 3 more times. So Shipman's luck finally ran out later that year when the daughter of his final victim, she was a lawyer, Kathleen Grundy, claimed that Shipman not only killed her mother, but he had also tried to create a new fake will naming him as her sole beneficiary. So unlike his earlier victims, Grundy had not been cremated, and an autopsy revealed lethally high dosages of, like, diamorphine, which It's just some random drug that he used for the killings.
Yeah, yeah.
Shipman was formally charged with 15 murders and was convicted and sentenced to life without parole in 2000. He died in 2004 after committing suicide in his cell, and he never admitted to any of the killings. Makes me so mad that he was able to commit suicide.
I think that's such a common trait that we see in some serial killers, is that they're killing themselves. But it's like, is that out of guilt? Is that out of you caught me? Is that out of you're never... I always want to know, like, the psychology behind that. But diamorphine is, like, the prescription version of, like, heroin, essentially. Like, it's, like, it's used as a pain reliever. It's used in labor a lot of times.
Sometimes... This reminds me of the Amy Schumer. Anyways, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes I do want to try drugs like that and see what it would be like, because I have heard heroin is like, it truly takes you to another place.
Here's my problem.
Would that be a good way to go, though? Like, that's what I guess that's where I'm getting at it with, is like, okay, if I have to go, like, I would, like, it seems, I'm not saying that you should kill people.
For sure.
I am saying that if I'm at death's door,
sure,
would this be one of the ways that I would want to go? Because supposedly you are supposed to be in a very blissful state.
Right.
Under the, I don't know. Again, I just said it.
I would have to be like terminally ill to be like, yes, okay, let me test out these things. But then to test them out, I mean, chances are you're going to like, you could die anyways. So I guess that would be the benefit, is like, okay, well, at least I'm like feeling good. But here's my problem. And I have the same problem with something as simple as Benadryl or marijuana, morphine in the hospital. My body does not like those things. And I would love nothing more than to just sit around high as a kite, live in life. But I become either violently ill or super anxious. So this is not fun for me. But if it is your thing and you could do it in a safe way, like, okay, cool. But this guy was not giving it to people.
No. Yeah.
In a positive way.
No, I agree.
I get what you're saying.
Yes.
But also, to the point of the last victim's child, daughter, who's going to believe that this lady was like, yeah, I love this doctor so much, I'm leaving him everything that I own in my will.
But I have a kid who's very
who loves
in my
me
life.
Enough and is more and cares about me enough that is now investigate. It's not like, oh, she was estranged, so she doesn't know, like, whatever. Like, clearly she's like, nah, fam, why is this happening? And the doctor's like, well, I guess, like, what? Nope, I don't believe you. That guy, yeah. Didn't they make, they had made a peacock show about
yes.
him, didn't they? I mean, there's been a lot, but most recently there was like, couple years ago.
Oh, there's so many things out about Dr. Death. And weirdly enough, though, I hadn't heard about him.
I had not until that show came out. I didn't know who he was.
I heard about Dr. Death, but I didn't know. I'll be 100% honest. Like, I know Dahmer now, but it's kind of like when people are like, ooh, Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm like, yeah, those aren't the murderers that I know a lot about, because those are the ones that everybody knows a lot about. And I like to be more obscure. Hence, well, our next person coming up that we've talked about 155 fucking times. And she's well covered, but.
I will continue to talk about her until the day we shut this podcast down, because she is the true love of my life. Her name is Belle Gunness. And if you've never listened to the podcast before, welcome to the Belle Gunness podcast, because that is what this podcast is essentially about. We just talk about other things like frequently in and out. But she was also known as Lady Bluebeard, which we have agreed is a really rude nickname to be giving somebody.
Yes.
She was not a handsome woman. She was very rough looking, but she found a lot of her suitors through the Lonely Hearts column, which I just, God love her. But she immigrated to America from Norway in 1881. So she's one of our oldies but goodies, hence the reason we talk about her so often. I can remember three episodes right off the top of my head where we have at least mentioned her. She is the third host of this podcast. She married a gentleman in Chicago who was also from Norway. They had four children. Two of them died young. They ran a candy store. Again, another serial killer who runs a candy store. By 1900, the store had mysteriously burned down, and Belle's husband also was dead. These were both kind of suspicious circumstances, but she collects the insurance money, allowing her to purchase a farm in Indiana. While she's at this farm, she quickly remarries. 8 months later, her second husband dies. She claims that he had received a fatal burn from scalding water and had been hit on the head by a heavy metal meat grinder that had fallen from, I guess, a high shelf. I don't keep meat grinders on a high shelf because I'm short and I would never be able to reach it. So happen or not happen, she says he got a burn and then also he got hit on the head. And so that's what happened. So they did do some investigation into this guy's death, but they were not able to figure anything out. There was no proof of foul play, which to me, it seems pretty foul play, but okay. But she gets another insurance payout. So now she's got two dead husbands, two insurance payouts, a burnt down candy store, and probably needs to purchase a new meat grinder. So she then begins placing newspaper advertisements in search of a third husband, with the requirement that potential suitors have to come visit her on her farm in Indiana. Several prospective suitors showed up only to disappear forever. Just
she
one
kept
of them.
Her trunks, though.
She does. She keeps their like moving trunks. They're like, you know, they're equivalent of a suitcase, I guess, in the 1900s. So she, one, makes it out alive. He reportedly woke up to see Belle sinisterly looking at him, standing over him, and he kicked it out of there. He was like, I don't want to go. Nobody knows for certain how many people she murdered, but it seems that she could have also met her demise, but she could have also staged her own death. In February of 1908, a fire hit her farm. It burned everything down, including her children, and the decapitated corpse of a woman. The police identified the remains as Gunnis's remains, but there was a lot of like weird things about it. Like the corpse would have been shorter than she was. It would have been smaller. She was like really tall and kind of heavy set, but they were like, no, we're for sure that this is her. Well, this lady's just like chopping people up on our farm. Don't you think that she could have, I bet she had a spare body laying around. The fire was related or had been accused or kind of tied to this guy named Ray Lamphere, who was a former farmhand. But during the discovery of the fire, like as they're looking through, they found dozens of bodies, including missing suitors and several children. So this lady, she's just not nice. So she had fired Ray a few years earlier, later claimed that he was threatening her life and was arrested on crimes, but was only convicted of the arson. And her real, like how, what happened to her remains unknown. And there are unverified sightings that continued for her like decades after she died. So there, some people think that she, I mean, obviously now she would be dead, but some people think that she staged her own death, offed her kids, blamed it on this Ray guy and like booked it out of there to start a new life. But afterwards, and I don't know, maybe we need to do an episode on like the sightings afterwards, because like there would be more murders tied to her. So like, was there another lady that they were like tied to? But lots of sightings after her death. But maybe she died in the fire. Maybe she didn't. She remains the baddest of all badasses. And she's not nice. I don't really want to be her friend, but I do. Her story's wild to me.
I love Belle so much. She's the best. So mm-hmm. good.
We do have a full-length episode on her, and she's yes. been mentioned in a couple snippets. I'll link them in case you decide that you're also a fan. So she's great. She's a cool lady.
Okay, next we have the inspiration behind Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it's Ed Gein. He grew up in an isolated area of Wisconsin. He was an abused child of an alcoholic father and a His mother was also super domineering, and she instilled within him a pathological fear of both women and sex, which, like, is not nice. Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
It's not okay. So when his father, brother, and mother died within a five-year period, he was left alone at the family farm, where he eventually sectioned off parts of the house, turning it into a shrine of sorts to his mom. So 13 years later, local police arrive at the farm, following up on a tip regarding missing hardware store owner. Her name was Bernice Warden. They discovered her headless corpse hanging upside down from the rafters. They searched the rest of the property, and they revealed a hall of horrors that included human body parts turned into household items such as chairs and bowls, faces used as wall hangings, a vest made up of a human torso. So many of these gruesome items were from already dead bodies that Gene had stolen from graves, but he murdered one other woman in addition to Warden. He claimed that he was using their body parts to assimilate a new version of his beloved mother. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he was declared unfit for trial. A decade later, he was convicted of one of the murders, but he was declared insane. So he spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital, and it's just like, that's so fucking sick. So gross.
Okay, so Z said this, and I also follow the same path of life. Like, the really big name serial killers, especially the super gross ones, aka Ed Gein, like, I don't know much about them because it's too gross for me. I can't.
Yeah,
I have a limit to the crime that I will subject myself to, and he is one of them. I didn't know that he was kind of the inspiration behind Psycho. I had heard about him being the inspiration behind Silence of the Lambs, but the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Please don't turn anybody's body parts into a bowl. That's just gross. I don't understand why. Like, I get.
And are you eating out of the bowl?
Right. Like, are you putting mints in it? What is happening in that bowl? It's disgusting. But I get/don't get, let me collect all these body parts and, like, reincarnate my mother. Like, let me, because, like, he clearly has some mommy issues. Like, what's going on with that? But please don't make somebody's body parts into a bowl. I don't understand that. And I don't like it. And I think it's gross. That is awful. But again, he lived by himself. He was clearly mentally unfit and also probably subjected to a lot of childhood abuse. But still, that's yucky. I don't like it. I don't like that guy. He's not invited to our party. He's gross.
He is not. And we will never be covering a full case episode on him.
I don't want to. Yeah. I just, like, did a quick, you know, Google image search because I wanted, because I always want to know what they look like. And I absolutely shouldn't have, because there is an image of some of his, like, body museum, and it's gross, and I'm not interested in that. So this next guy, equally gross. Also one that I refuse to learn much about. I will not watch things about him because he had a lot of things with little kids, and I don't like that, but it's John Wayne Gacy. He's, like, the bad of the bad. It does not surprise me that he is in the top five, for sure. He was from the Chicago area. He was super friendly. He would throw block parties. He volunteered in a local Democratic politics, like, with, like, political, like, you know, parties and campaigns and different things. And often performed as a clown at a local children's party, which, first red flag. No, that's gross. He had already served a stint in prison for sexually assaulting a teenage boy, but all of his crimes were happening, like, in his happy little suburban neighborhood. In 1978, a 15-year-old boy who had last been seen with John Wayne Gacy, whose construction business the teenager was hoping to work for. So not only is he, like, this weird clown party guy, he's also super friendly and owns a local business. So this guy sounds like, you know, I'm not saying half the people in my town are serial killers, but, like, this is just, like, normal dude. Except for the clown thing, I don't think that's normal. I think that's weird. But he had gone missing. This 15-year-old boy goes missing. The police.
I always think it's super weird when people that don't have kids are clowns.
So in 1978, a 15-year-old boy goes missing. The police obtain a search warrant for Gacy's house because Gacy, as we said, was the last person to see this 15-year-old was seen with, he was with John Wayne Gacy, who has the business that this kid wanted to work for. They found a class ring and clothing belonging to several young men previously reported missing in a 4-foot crawl space, no thank you, beneath the house, where a penetrating odor was present. They were shocked to find the decomposing bodies of 29 boys and teenagers that Gacy had raped and murdered. Gacy's ex-wife had complained about the odor for years, but Gacy chalked it up to moisture-causing mildew. I'm sorry. I'm not going to just be like, that smell is weird. And I'm just going to be like, oh, you're right. It's mold. I'm not going to clean it up. Mm-mm. If it's mildew or mold, I want to look into it a little bit more. But I don't know. Who knows?
It's like that. Unsafe. You can get sick and stuff.
Yeah. I've known people who have had to like move out of their residences because of a mold problem that was making them extremely sick. So the law enforcement also came under criticism as the family members of several of the victims had previously pointed to Gacy as a possible suspect, and nobody would assume that it was him because he was super well-liked and he was like this great guy and he couldn't have done it. In addition to the bodies found at his house, he admitted to killing several additional men, disposing of their body in nearby lakes. His attempts at presenting an insanity defense failed. He was convicted on 33 counts of murder, and he was executed by lethal injection in 1994. Gross.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And fuck this next guy, too, because it's he's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah,
and no surprise, he's on our list. So he committed his first murder in 1978 when he was just 18. He would go on killing until he was arrested in 91 after a black man escaped his clutches and hailed down a police officer near Milwaukee. When the victim led police back to Dahmer's apartment, they discovered photographs of disassembled bodies, severed heads, and genitalia of several other men in a tub full of acid that Dahmer had used to dispose of some of his 17 victims. He had lived a shiftless life. He dropped out of college and the army. He lived with various family members before he was kicked out by his grandmother, and he settled in that Milwaukee apartment 3 years before his 1991 arrest, and with several murders already committed by him, he was convicted of drugging and sexually molesting a young teenager. After serving only a year, he was released, continued to kill people, and focused almost entirely on young men of color at this point. So during his trial, when he was like finally caught, they featured so many gross details about him eating various body parts of some of his victims, admissions of necrophilia, and it was like a big renewal for the world on serial killers, because serial killers were like a first thing in like the 60s and 70s, and so now this was like a big wham, bam, here they are. In 92, he was sentenced to 957 years in jail, but was killed by a fellow inmate just 2 years later. And we actually did a podcast, a whole episode on said
the guy
dude
who murdered him. Yeah, in prison. Yes. So Jeffrey Dahmer grew up near where I grew up. So this was like a huge, I mean, it was big everywhere, but people would like drive past his old house and it's like this big whole thing. And I think another reason he was, which it's not a surprise because guess who is serial killers? White men. Like that's just, there are lots of other serial killers, but white men are like who, surprise, surprise, shocker. But they're often ones that are looked at last because, oh, that's a white guy, so surely he could never murder someone. Well, have you looked at our list of all of these serial killers, with the exception of my girl Belle? These are all white men. These are all white men. Are you kidding me? But because it was the 90s, he lived in like the Midwest. He grew up in Ohio and then lived in Wisconsin and like just like the whitey white places. And he was targeting black men, gay black men, gay men of color. I don't think it was specifically black men, but just like gay men of color who at that time in the world were, you know, nobody cared. It wasn't a big deal. And we, Chris and I started watching the Netflix renewal bit, like the thing that they put out, which is what led us to cover his murderer. And I had to stop after like two episodes. I'm like, I can't, like, it's just too much. He was an awful, horrible human being, and I'm glad he was caught. And I don't ever want anybody to get murdered, and I don't think it's fair, but I do think it's fair for him to be murdered in prison. But he's gross.
Yes, but like, I wish they would have shoved like nails underneath his fingernails first, and then like ate his toes while he watched, and then cut off his penis and did weird things with it in front of him. And like,
I don't think it was simple, but I hear you. We have a love hate relationship with murderers getting murdered around here, but So these are the five that we, with the exception of Belle Gunness, we will not cover on the podcast solely by themselves because they are gruesome and awful. And I feel like
so in all of these cases,
they were, you know, brought to justice in one way or another, which is great for the families. But yeah, that's really gross. What a roundup. I love roundup episodes. I feel like we could become a roundup podcast. Fun. Just love it. But come back again in a week. We'll bring you another bout of true crime to take up space in your brain and make you think about while you're going to sleep at night, right? It's really fun while you're making school lunches. Just think about murder.
But it'll keep you awake if you do it in the mornings, though. So maybe it's not a nighttime podcast for you. Maybe this is a morning podcast for you to just get your juices going.
This is a wake up. Wake up with crime. If you have any suggestions for us, we're always looking for new ones. We had a couple of really good ones come in this week that I think we're going to be covering here soon, which is super exciting. Yes. But as always, find us on all the things. Check out our show and tell this week. It will be in the show notes. Let us know what you think about it. Show us how beautiful your hair is, or don't, or just tell us that you really like us because we need that in our lives. I have nothing else. I don't think.
That's it. It's a wrap, folks.
That is a wrap. Have a great week. Be nice to each other. Don't murder anybody. Goodbye.
Bye.